Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
So we want to speak, and we introduced this a little bit last week. I want to speak about core values or your core convictions. Well, what are they based on? Where do you get them from? If your core convictions are just based on man's truth, that could be cool if man's truth is based on God's truth. But if they're just based on, that's the way we've always done it. Yep. And your tradition becomes stronger than the word of God, you're kind of missing God's best. So are our convictions, our values based on the word of God, or are they based on man's thought and man's values? Just a thought. Now, your core is where you get your strength from. Now, if you want to get into fitness, which I am not, but I've heard, is if you want to get yourself fit, you've got to work on your core, your gut area, because that will help you strengthen your legs, strengthen your arms. If you've got a strong core and you're working on strengthening it, then you can strengthen the other areas of your life. And my thought is this, that as we more and more strengthen our core values and line them up with the word of God, I believe our walk will be stronger. The works of our hands will be more complete as we just work it through. What are my core convictions? And it may take you a while to work them out under the microscope of the word of God, but I believe it's a great journey to do because it'll strengthen you in your Christian life and affect every area of your life. Got to get the filter happening. Because from your core values, you have your thinking, your feeling, your choices. And I can't tell you what your core convictions should be. There's a whole range of different values, convictions that have their foundation in the Word of God. But just for a couple of moments, I just want to clarify, and if I could, and this is more of a conversation, because I'm on a journey as well as you are in these things. But at the end of the day, I want to stand firm in what I know are godly convictions. Because as the world changes, the values change, we've got to evaluate their convictions or what they're trying to put on me. Are they the same as God's word, or do they violate God's word? And I'm a man of authority, and I understand authority. But when the laws of man violate the laws of God, it's better to obey God. Are you hearing me today? When they violate the laws of God, it's better to obey God. So I just want to kind of pull this apart today, because you can have your personal convictions, but then there are general convictions or values that are for each one of us. Now, a personal value could be for you, or your personal conviction could be, that you are a vegetarian. Any of those here today, don't put your hand up. And that's fine. If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. I like vegetables and I like steak. Now, don't be offended at me because I eat steak, and I won't be offended at you that you suck on Brussels sprouts. But sometimes people get these personal convictions and they try to impose them on you. I don't mind having a conversation of why you're a vegan or why you're a vegetarian or whatever. I don't mind having a conversation, but we should not impose our personal convictions or values on others. So here's a New Testament one. Like in the Jewish nation pre-Christ, the Jewish people, a sign of their belonging to the Messiah, to Jehovah, was a mark in their flesh, which was called circumcision for males. When it rolled over to the New Testament, some of the Old Testament beliefs were starting to make their way into the New Testament. And we see there on one occasion that the Jewish people were enforcing upon the Gentiles who accepted Jesus that they now had to be physically circumcised. And decisions for Christ were dropping off. That was a joke. Think about that. You had to get saved, circumcised. No, thank you. Okay. And then Paul comes along and says, man, it's not a matter of outward circumcision. It's the circumcision of the heart, where you cut away the excess fleshy parts of your heart, like anger, jealousy, hatred, selfishness, drunkenness, gossip, lying, and those kind of things. He says it's got nothing to do with the physical. God deals with the heart. So that was a personal conviction. So if someone wants to get circumcised, that is a personal conviction. It's not something that's imposed from God. Are you hearing me today? God looks at the heart. So there are general convictions that people carry that are personal convictions, and then there are convictions that are general to each one of us. There's absolute truths that need to be worked through and forged in convictions and values within our life. For example, who's ever heard of the Ten Commandments? And you might say, oh, they don't apply anymore. Really? Let's think about that. Thou shalt not murder. That's okay, we can murder. No, it's silly. The laws are not written so much on external. God said he'd write his laws within our heart. So the way we look at it changes. It's not a have to, is a want to. I don't want to murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't want to commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I don't want to steal. What is it? It's the choice in man's lives that we choose to obey God. And I just want to take us on a little bit of a journey today so that you can just rethink and reevaluate your core values of what you really believe. And so some people will ask me, well, what are yours? Well, I can share what mine is, and they may be the same as yours, they may be different. But over this, reading this book of Daniel and just doing studies, it's just made me sit back a little bit that I'm not just saying these are my values, but they're the automatic response from my heart, these are my values. Some people talk about having the values on the walls, but they've got to be on your heart. You can have them on the fridge, but they've got to be in your heart. And I just want to share some of mine with you today. Is that okay? Not saying they have to be yours, but my number one is this, is love God. You might say that's obvious. Yeah, but just let's talk about it. Some people didn't know God when they were young, knew of God, but didn't know the love of God. I was probably fortunate enough that I was brought up in a home where our family had a love for God. So even as a young child, I had a love for God and a curiosity about God. And then I get older and I read the Bible, and it says this in Matthew 22:36. One of the teachers asks Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength to love the Lord your God. And my question as I was going through this again, John, do you really love God? Of course I do. Then it just kept on coming back to me. Do you really love God? Do you really love Jesus? And I think if I really love God and love Jesus, there's got to be some sign that I do love Jesus and I love God. Because it's amazing, the God that we're serving, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it talks about that he's omnipresent. That word means that he is everywhere at once. So that my God is not just the Aussie God. He's the God of the universe. He's huge. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. How do you work that out? Well, God is not a man, so he's huge. Why shouldn't I love him? He's omnipotent, which is all-knowing. He knows everything, all the time, and at once. Ah, yeah, you got me there again, God. And then it says he's omnipotent, which is he is all-powerful. So the God that I serve and the God that I want to love and get to know, he's ever at once, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. So that's a God that I've known from my childhood to my youth to my adult years. And to be honest with you, when I was younger, I used to have a love and a curiosity for God, even though I was scared of him. I always thought he was going to get me. He was waiting for me to do the wrong thing. And it didn't really affect me that much of you know, my God is after me. But I just said, man, I love God. I'm a bit fearful. I'm a bit scared. But as I've walked with God and as I've tried to outwork this Christian journey, I've found out that God is totally good and God is totally loving. So it's one of my values. I've grown to understand this, that I don't understand all that God does because he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's all-seeing. I don't understand all that he does, but I know that he's good, totally good, and totally loving. So I don't understand all that he does, but I love him. And I'm learning to trust him more and more because the more I grow in life and the more I experience different things, I've got to get to know God in that experience. I've got to get to know God in that season. So I'm learning to trust him more and more. Because I know one thing about God. I can limit him and get an attitude towards him where things are not working out the way that I should. But I know that God's got a bigger plan. When people that have been close to me are taken, I don't understand. When bad people seem to get away with badness and good people, it seems like their lives are cut short. I don't understand it, but I trust God anyway. And when I've, and also what I've experienced, that when I've done all that I know to do as a Christian, in my family, in my planning, in my finances, if you're a business person, in your business and in your relational world and even in trouble, that you've done all that you know that you should do and you just think, well, what's going on here? I've learned the secret. Just keep trusting God. Because I can't work it all out. And when I can't work it all out, I don't let myself get stuck with it. I get to the other side and strengthen my bonds with God. Because sometimes when things don't work out, who's ever tried to sell a house? Everyone around you is selling the house and yours just sits there. I've done that a couple of times. God, why not my house sell? I'm a good person. I look at them, they're not that good. I'm good. And it just kind of sits there. Or you're trying to get the promotion or you're trying to get a relationship happening and it just, man, or you're trying to get a business going and it's, man, what's going on? Life can get a little bit confusing sometimes. But you know what I'm learning to say? God, I trust you because it's a core value. And let me say it again. I never want to lose God because of it. What's it? A thing that never happened the way that you thought it should. That loved one that was taken. Or that deal that fell through. I don't want to lose God in the midst of it. Are you hearing me? And it's a core value that I'm building into my life that no matter what happens around me, I'm covered. My other value is this. Family. Who loves family? Now you may have a loving family, which is good. And you may have a family that's, Let me share this with you. Ephesians 6, 2 to 4. And this has really helped me. Because I'm speaking to every one of you people that somewhere in your life you had a mother and father. Something put you on this planet. It wasn't, oh, I just turned up. You wish. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What is a promise? That it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Now, my dad, he was a good man. There's no doubt about it. Seven children, he raised us pretty good. But man, he was tough. And as a child, I think he was too tough. But you get to my age now, maybe he wasn't tough enough. But when you're a child and get into your teenage years and your father's a bit of a toughie and that kind of stuff, you can start to get an attitude. And I got a bit of an attitude towards him. And I really didn't like him, to be honest with you. So I could have let that resentment sit in my gut. Or I could look at the Word of God and say, I've got to get my life to line up with that. So I had to work through a few things of getting my attitude right. And I know there's other people here, you may have had abusive parents. And you kind of look at them now and you just say, yeah, I could never honor them. And I don't want to drag up any pain of the past. But I just want you to visit this Word and say, God, can you heal me? So even if I can only honor them for giving me birth, help me to honor them. And I want to encourage you to go on the journey so that you can establish the Word of God as your core values within your life. Honor your father and your mother. My mother was easy to love. In our home, it was good cop, bad cop. Mum would say, you wait till dad get home. That would scare the hell out of me. And then dad used to say, John, this will hurt me more than you. I never believed him. This will hurt me more than you? Yeah, sure. Let me have a go at you. You know? Don't believe all that stuff. I know what they were saying. Not really, but I know what they're saying. Young people, don't get an attitude. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you, may live long on the earth. Maybe there's sand flying in your face because maybe you need to reconnect with this principle, this core value of honor your father and mother. And to honest today, I was just even thinking this week, Dad's in heaven. He'd be 105, 106 now. And I was just thinking, man, it'd just be really good if I could just get him back and we could just chat about a few things. We sorted all of our stuff out before he died and it was all cool and I love him and all that kind of stuff. And you might say, oh, your parents are gone, there's no contact. You need to sort it through within your heart. Write a letter, whatever it is, sort it through. Why? That we may honor our father and mother, that it may go well with you, you may live long on the earth. I want to remove blockages from my life so I can have a core value that reflects what God's saying. And then it goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. I think my father provoked me. True. As a teenager, I think he went too far. He didn't abuse me or anything like that, but he just went too far. And hear the word of God saying, here's, come on, parents. And I'm talking to parents right now. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't discipline them out of anger. Discipline them out of, we need to get this right. And sometimes you just need to step back a few steps and get it right within your life. And again, I'm not telling you how to run your family. I'm just saying, look at this and get some godly convictions. But bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition means to admonish you means to warn. So train them and warn them. Bring them up in the ways of God. And I want to encourage you, you've got dad issues today. Come on, let's begin to move forward in Jesus' name. So you've got dad issues that affect your security and your trust. And I just pray today for fathers and father role models and authority figures that, man, that we begin to rise up into a whole new level of understanding our role as dads, and that each one of us has a respect and honor for our mums and dads. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband, listen, is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I've been around a long time, Joe, you'd understand this. And if you've been in church for many years, I've heard this used so many times. Wife, listen, shut up and submit. I've heard it. It's not my angle. I would never try that on my wife. She's a better fighter than I am. But here we have a principle, and I just want to talk to you today about it, because we need to look at this with fresh eyes. No one has to submit. I can't make you submit. It's just like the little boy that's standing and I say, sit down. I'm not sitting down. Sit down. And I get a lump of wood and I say, sit down. And in the end, he sits down because he doesn't want to get hurt. But he looks back at me and says, on the inside, I'm still standing up. So submission is not so much an outward thing. It's an inward thing of the heart. And I want to encourage men today, if you're married, be a man that your wife would love to submit to. I see some men, and I'd probably tell their wives, don't submit to that. Be godly, be loving. You're not going to submit to something that's going to diminish the quality of your life. So wives, submit to your own husbands. You've got to work that through. You've got to talk about it. It can't be force. It's got to be conversations. What does it look like? And then in verse 25, it reads like this. Husbands, love your wives. Kaboom. And every wife said, let's try this one. Wives, submit to your husbands. Let me try it again. Wives, submit to your husbands. You're a pack of chickens. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Man, my wife has quoted that scripture so many times to me. That he might sanctify her and cleanse her. It's a purity of love. And I think we just need to revisit these. Hear me, we're not going back to legalism. We're going forward to victory. And we're having these values established within our lives, these core convictions in Jesus' name. And what I love about this, it talks about wives and husbands. Marriage is between a man and a woman in a loving relationship for life. The Word of God backs it up consistently. I don't have to argue about it. That's a core value within my life. The other core value that I have within my life, and I will just mention it for now, is the Word of God. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. And we've got to take what is in heaven and get it eternally established within our lives. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So if your word is forever settled in heaven, I've got to get what is settled and bring it to earth to become a reality in my life. So God's word has the answer to every argument, as it were. That God's word is the filter for all of my beliefs. Because if I can look at God's word and say, yes, from Genesis to Revelations, it holds the word of God. Not some of it, but every bit of it. I believe it gives us a good stability to build our convictions. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.